Now it's time for Teacher Talk, James's thoughts and insights into teaching international students.
We are pleased to welcome Diana Rikiki to the show. Welcome, Diana.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Diana has been a teacher trainer and academic director for over 10 years, both in Europe and in Canada. And she's here to share with us some of her thoughts on how to evaluate the teachers. Yeah. So what do you think? What are some of the best ways to evaluate teachers in today's society?
It's a really, really tough question and a very difficult task. Measuring teaching is something that I find very difficult to qualify or to quantify. And so I believe that watching somebody as they work and helping them to get through whatever challenges that are observed during that session, whether it be part of a lesson or a complete lesson, is the way to go. I believe that constant coaching and mentoring is really the only way to help someone improve their teaching skills.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think also essentially trust within the organization, trust between administration and the teaching staff is really critical, so that they know they're being evaluated and not being evaluated, but rather coached and helped rather than having their jobs on the line. You know what I mean?
I do. And I totally agree with that. I know that there are many school boards, especially in the United States, regular school, high school, middle school, et cetera, that really do tie the test scores to the viability of any given teacher. And I believe that that is completely unfair because that can deal with where you're located, the type of students you have, if they are underprivileged students, if you have learning disability students in your class. It really puts teachers at a disadvantage.
Do you think there is a way to quantify teachers? Realistically, with a number?
I actually don't even believe there is a way to quantify students and what they've learned. I don't believe in testing for the sake of testing. I believe that tests were developed in order to make parents or administrators feel good about the programs that are being taught. But I really don't believe in testing for students or teachers.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I'm a big fan on the portfolios for students. I think that shows the overall
portfolios.
Any type of portfolio, whether you want to have a written portfolio, a digital portfolio, which we can do now. But we talked about that a little bit on the show before. And but what do you think? We tried, you know, and Diana has just for disclosure, full disclosure, Diana has worked with me in my school when we had it in, we're running it in Toronto. And she and I came up with the thought to try to do video assessment of teachers. So could you explain a little bit about the theory that we came up with to have the video assessments of teachers?
Well, I think it's very common in many teaching situations where there is ongoing training offered within the institution that some kind of overseer or director would sit in on a classroom and watch teachers as they go about their job and make notes and be able to then coach them.
That's very, very intimidating, yes.
It is very intimidating.
To have your boss come in to your classroom.
Exactly. It's your boss or your direct superior or whatever the dynamic may be. So it can be pretty scary, especially for a new teacher or an inexperienced teacher. The students also don't know how to act in the situation. So everything is a little bit forced.
And yeah, and the students often are very good, yeah?
Too good.
Yeah.
They sit up straight, they put up their hands, and these are things that don't normally happen,
right,
especially in an adult learning environment.
Yeah, because they don't want the teacher to get into trouble.
Exactly. They become very attached to the teacher, and they want to help make a good impression.
Right.
So what we decided was we would put some sort of recording device. Now, I know that in the past, other schools have done this. I did this when I was becoming a teacher, or when I was training to become a teacher myself. They've video recorded us with an old JVC machine. Now it's old. At the time, it was cutting edge. and then we would have to watch ourselves, and everybody was very shy about their body image and their verbal tics and all that. So basically, it's the same thing, only it's a little bit less intrusive in that we were able to place an iPad on a stand and kind of hide it in the corner of the room. And that did the recording for us. So I had the option at the time of watching live from my desk if I did have the time to dedicate at that particular moment, or of watching it later, making notes, and then reviewing some of the finer points with the teacher in question. Most of the time, teachers...
Sorry, just to jump in there, because that's a really good point that you kind of dropped in there. One of the things, of course, for me as an administrator of the school was having Diana sit in on every teacher for an hour or 2 hours, because ideally you want to stay for the entire class, right? You don't want to pop in for 10 minutes or 15 minutes. You want to stay for a full 90-minute or 2-hour class. But as an administrator, that's taking somebody of Diana's value out of her job, out of her work. It becomes a cost issue, right? I mean, how do you always have somebody going around to watch teachers for 2 hours a day? I mean, that's all they're doing.
Giving
feedback. So that was a good point, that you could watch from your desk and, you know, do other tasks that you were doing. And you could even move away from your desk and take care of issues and come back and know that that is still being recorded. Yes. So from my perspective as an administrator, I know teachers don't want to sometimes hear that, but I mean, you have other jobs that you were needed to do. And that was very, very important option for me, because having you go in to watch a class for 2 hours was not the best way for me to use your time.
Well, sure. Also, because there are large swaths of the class, especially in a class that would be 2 hours long, where students are working together on something. And so there's not a lot to observe apart from how the teacher interacts with the students during that group of space. So it could be seen from the outside or from the people who are not familiar with what happens in a classroom as a waste of time and therefore a waste of money.
Yeah. I mean, no, I don't think it's a waste of time. I think it's valuable, but I think, you know, it's important that you view that, but there are ways that we could, you know, fast forward through some of those.
Exactly.
Video. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Continue on.
Okay. So, well, what we found was that both the teacher and the students, after the initial shock of seeing this contraption in the corner of their room, actually really just forgot about it. And became more natural as the time of the classroom went on. And so we did get to see a much more realistic version of what happens in a classroom on any given day.
And did you notice anything different that maybe you wouldn't have picked up as an evaluator?
Well, that's kind of a trick question, because in order to know the answer to that, you would have had to sit in the classroom one time and then maybe not sit and view via video another time. So I don't know really that I could answer that question.
I think the idea is that would you have a better experience staying in, or was it the same experience? I guess maybe if I could rephrase it.
Okay. I for me, as the person observing, I have to say that it was a better experience for me.
It was better. You found the video was better for you.
Yes, I did, because I could actually go back and check. Sometimes you miss things because you're writing them down.
Right.
Something happens. And so it's like having a PVR. If you can't really understand what somebody said, you can roll it back and listen again. And this goes for both what the teacher was trying to execute and what the students were doing at the same time.
Right. Yeah, that's great. And I assume you did that as well with the teachers, so they could, because sometimes you're in the class and although you think you hear what the students say, it could be something that they didn't say, you know.
In fact, I did use that a lot personally in an ESL classroom where we do have people, or we did have people from different backgrounds. So it wasn't just one group of people studying together, and therefore they could whisper to each other in their own language. After you get to know the accents and the word preferences and perhaps even the syntax of your different groups of students, you can almost anticipate what they're going to say at certain times. And so when a younger, newer, fresher unexperienced teacher comes in and they don't quite have the ear developed yet to the Brazilian accent or the Mexican accent or the way that Japanese people put their sentences together, etc., they can find themselves in difficulty, the teacher. And so I actually very often used what students said and asked the teacher to listen again and try to come up with a different interpretation of what they believed initially the answer was. And so I also helped teachers develop their ear so that they could help their different groups of students better.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point, because oftentimes as a new teacher, you kind of rush your class. You kind of rush things along, and you need to kind of slow down a bit and listen to what the students are trying to say. Oftentimes they may be making errors there and they're trying to say it. So with the video, you could kind of go back and evaluate what they're trying to say, especially with the younger or newer teachers. How about the older teachers, the more experienced teachers who might say, hey, I don't want to be evaluated or coached, or I don't want a video in my classroom, having Big Brother watching me. What was the reaction there?
To be honest, I never really got that much of an opposition to the exercise. It was always done with enough warning. There were never surprises like, hey, by the way, today we're going to observe you, because I don't believe that that's fair. So people, even though they weren't crazy about the idea, they did accept it quite well.
Okay, let's talk about that. I mean, I think when you introduced it, what was the reaction?
It was, really? You're going to do what?
Yeah.
And then we did it a couple of times, and I can't remember who the first teachers were that we experimented this on, but there was no bad feedback from them to the other teachers on staff.
Right.
And so it just kind of became the norm and nobody questioned it.
Right. Yeah. And I think anytime you're introducing any type of new change or new technology or something different, you need to have the support of one or two teachers who are willing to try. You know, if there's such a backlash from all the teachers, then you're going to have a problem. So I think trying to suss out which teacher might be open to the concept was a good plan of attack.
And there was always the speech beforehand that I made sure to make help the teachers understand that this was for training purposes only. These videos would not be archived. We would not use anything in this video to hurt or in any way harm their career, that they would be deleted immediately after our feedback session. So I think that helped as well. People obviously tend to get a little bit nervous when they believe that their image is going to be saved for eternity, because they don't have control over what happens with that afterwards.
Except me. You can use my image anywhere. That's okay. The problem is nobody wants to use my image.
Well, that's a different issue.
That's a different issue. Now, so the reaction was they were a bit reticent at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Did anybody want the video? Like, did you share the video with them?
Yes, after? There was a video link available, and I did encourage instructors to watch their own video before our feedback session. Because my first question was always, okay, now that you've watched yourself, give yourself some advice. And then we would compare what they picked up about their lesson and what I picked up about their lesson. Sometimes we picked up on many of the same points. Other times we were completely opposite or different. And either way, it was a great learning experience.
And what did the teachers sort of pick out about themselves? Because I kind of think, like, if I were teaching and I saw the video, I might go, oh my God, look at my hands, or look at the way I'm dressed, or look at the way I'm writing on the board. I mean, a little more, you know, vanity as opposed to actual, actual teaching issues. You got to look at yourself that way, right?
Yes.
Was that part of the reaction?
Yes, and in fact, that's why I always invited the instructors to watch themselves a few times before we went through things, the two of us, because people do need that moment to get over themselves. If I could put it that way. Everyone is always looking at, oh my goodness, look at my hair. Oh, yeah. I should have cut my nails that day. Oh, my writing on the board is so bad. Yeah. After you've watched it 3 or 4 times, you tend to forget those things and hone in on what the real reason for the recording is. And then they'll realize things like, oh, I do talk too much, or, oh, I don't enunciate enough, or whatever their particular challenges for the day would be.
Now, were you shooting the students as well, their faces and things?
Well, because it was a static camera, let's say, it was just something stuck in the corner of the room. Yes, I did try to point the viewer to where the teacher would be mostly. The teachers in that school did move around a lot, or they were encouraged to do so. So a lot of times you would only hear what was happening and not actually see. But yes, I tried to get in the frame as many students as possible as well.
And I think you also tried to, you shot them from behind, so their faces yes. were not shown.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we were very careful about that perspective, that we were shooting the teacher, not the students.
And the backs of heads, yes, of students.
Because I think students were also consulted on this, were they not?
Absolutely, yes. And they were told the same thing, we're not going to keep this video. It's solely for the purpose of coaching and mentoring, and then that the video would be deleted.
And what were the students' reactions?
Really, it depends on their own personal, or on their personalities. Many times they would just randomly in the middle of the lesson stand in front of the camera and make a face and then walk away.
Yeah. Some of the class clowns, yes, I'm sure.
Yes, exactly. Other times they would do everything possible to avoid being in the shot. But more often than not, they just got on with the business of whatever the teacher requested of them during the class, and they executed that.
And certainly the first time I can see that. Now, you did try kind of multiple times. So were the students and the teachers, did you notice a more comfortable factor as you had kind of grown to implement this system of evaluation?
With the teachers, definitely. It, as I said before, it just became the new norm and it wasn't really an issue. With the students, because there was always new intake, I found that we had to explain every time to the students and make sure that the new students in that particular group knew the rules of the road, per se, and that it wasn't about them. It was about helping the teacher. And what was funny is that sometimes the students would, as we said before, really get worried about their own teacher, and they were super excellent students during the video. And then after the video was stopped, they would go to the teacher in secret and say, like, are you okay? Is this some kind of punishment? Are they Yeah, are they trying to fire you? You know, I answered all the questions. Did I do well? So there was a real bonding experience for some of the teachers and students because of this.
Wow, that's interesting. Interesting, yeah. And so you felt that overall, did this help the teachers as they worked through? After we kind of got over that, you know, initial reticent at the beginning, do you think it was a helpful technique?
I believe so. I also believe that I was able to make people comfortable enough that with the idea that sometimes, not often, but sometimes there would even be a request. Hey, I'm doing something new today. Could you set this up for half an hour in my class so that can see if it worked well or not? Yeah, wow. That happened with 2 teachers, I remember.
Wow, that's great. That's great. And I think that's a fantastic idea. Even if the administration is not doing it, I think it's a great idea for teachers just to teach themselves.
Yes,
if you're doing an activity, you could video yourself and see how well the activity went, or see how well you know, because you could also show that to the administration. You know what I mean? Right. Sometimes you have the opposite effect, and this is where you have an administration that maybe doesn't trust the teachers, and maybe has an evaluation technique that you think is unfair, mm-hmm. that you think you're doing a great job, and you could set up the video in your own class, you know?
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
In defense, yeah.
Yeah, to show them what's actually happening in the class. I mean, those are amazing opportunities. And we actually, you know, we use, as we are talking over the internet, a lot of things like the Skype and the things like that, where you can shoot videos and shoot what's going on in the classroom to show people. That's fantastic. What do you think? Any other evaluation techniques out there that you found useful for people who are maybe listening and, you know, just sort of help teachers understand the perspective of the teacher trainer?
I do believe that it's important for any teacher, no matter their level of expertise, to sit in on other teachers' classes and peer evaluate. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to give feedback, especially if you are a first year teacher, for example, watching a more experienced teacher. But it constant upgrading of skills is necessary for the classroom, or you will get bored. And if you are bored, your students will be bored, trust me. And so anything that you can get from your peers, from your colleagues, is just as good, if maybe even better, than what your superior or mentor or director could give you oftentimes.
Yeah, I agree. And we talked about on the show, you know, sharing is caring, and trying to create an environment of where teachers can share amongst each other, you know, makes for a better school, makes for a better class, makes for a better student
environment.
Ultimately, you know, makes the best teacher possible if you're willing to share. And that's really critical to have the senior teachers, you know, help out those junior teachers, and not just keep everything in a binder locked away. And, James is so popular, but, you know, Bill is not, you know, you know, it's just unfair, you know, if you can help those newer teachers to the school.
But I also think that the more senior teachers, as you so gracefully put it, can benefit from some of the younger teachers as well. A lot of times older teachers, the term we use is they get fossilized. They know things so well that they do it, let's say, without passion or without desire anymore. And it's almost like they can't learn anything new. So they're still using the same games and tricks and exercises that they've been using for years. And it's almost like calling it in. And you can't do that in a classroom.
Yeah, certainly we experienced that when we introduced the iPads into the school structure. Certainly the senior teachers there were like, I'm not changing my style, man. Yeah. I'm not changing, James. And you have to adapt and change and try new things, because certainly for me, when I started teaching with the iPad, it was mind blowing. I mean, my whole technique, all the strategies that I use, you know, went out the window.
Yeah.
And, I remember, you know, trying to draw a blouse on the board. You know, you get the old technique, the old technique of drawing a blouse. Like, what's a blouse, James? Okay, well, let me draw it on the board. That's your, kind of your first instinct pre-technology, right? You draw a blouse and a shirt, and you show the difference, right? And I turned around, and one of the students had, you know, had a iPad or an iPhone, and they just had found a picture of a blouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, done in a second, 2 seconds. Trying to explain this in a minute. So, you know, that's where the new technology, some of the new things that are out there that kids are aware of, especially, can help you as a teacher. Students often taught me, you know, great techniques to use as well. So the students are a great resource as well.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Diana, for joining us today on the James Rice Show. It's a pleasure to get your perspective on how to evaluate the teachers.
Okay. Thanks for having me.
Have you downloaded the Study It ESL textbooks yet for your classroom? The Study It textbooks are the first ever digital and interactive textbooks. Once downloaded, Wi-Fi is no longer required. Each book contains video and audio exercises, detailed grammar keynotes, reading and writing assignments, and amazing speaking projects. Grammar, conversation, pronunciation, business English, and listening textbooks are available. Visit www.studyitbooks.com for more information.